Merci beaucoup. Thank you. you'll see much better now. Said that young girl, be the first. But Grandpa just kept staring. He was lost in some distant thought. Then he turned and he said to that young girl, a little love and affection in everything you do will make the world a better place with or without you. With or without you, a better place. With or without you. Hear that rooster crowing down on the double E. It's a new morning dawning on the green. Bouncing off the towers, the sun's headed down to the streets. The business meeting window shades are drawn. Another morning edition is headed for the porch, because Grandma puts down the paper before Grandpa raises his fork. A little love and affection in everything you do. A better place. Hear that rooster crowing down on the double E. She's a beautiful girl of about 18 years. Earl Green is, she's single. Thank God for you, huh? She's still got a shot. Wait till you see her. She is truly beautiful. Earl Green is a painter.
He's been painting psychedelic paintings for about 35 years. He's a Vietnam War veteran. He started painting when he got back from the war. Edith is a dancer. She loves to dance. When they met in the bar, they danced all night. And when they had a son, she started dancing right away. She was dancing in the crib. She really loves to dance. Now, son likes to watch her dad paint too, since he paints every day. She comes in and she looks at his paintings, and these are some beautiful paintings, even though they're psychedelic, kind of hippie paintings. If you look at them long enough, maybe 5 or 10 minutes just standing there looking at them, you start hearing voices and seeing things. So son always comes by at the end of the day to see what daddy has done. He's never been able to sell any of his paintings, although it's not because he doesn't try. He goes to all the galleries and regularly. His son is working on a project of her own. She's an artist too. She's working in hay. She has a flatbed truck that she fills up with hay bales every day and takes out into the countryside. When she comes back at night, there's no hay on the truck. The world doesn't know what she's doing, and neither does Edith. She says she'll show him when she's finished. But tonight she's working on her homework assignment. Up in her room, and she's doing a book report on a book written by an American lawyer called How to Use the Media. She's also working on an essay for her year-end project called Saving the Alaskan Wilderness by Sun Green. Thank you.
Meanwhile, Granny has got her bright colors on, with the sun shining in her eyes. Cruising by the bars and honky-tonks where she met Grim, and caught that young man's eye. Dusty white Eldorado, cruising through the trees, slipping through the shadows of what he used to be. Back in her day, living in the suburb of home, living in the summer of love, Granny's okay, but not the same since Grandpa's gone. She's living in the summer of love. Back in the day, living in the summer of love, living in the summer of love. Living in the summer of love, back in the day, living in the summer of love, living in the summer of love.
Jail's not very big. It was built in 1911, which makes it a very old building by American standards. Living in the jail since 1911 is Satan. Now, it's hard to see him. You can't just walk in and view Satan in the jail. But he does live there, and he enjoys spending time with the prisoners. He likes to talk to them and see what's on their mind, and then just walk through the wall and leave them there. Greendale's kind of a tourist trap. And a lot of people come there to buy antiques. Curious. But business is a little off because there have been a lot of sightings of Satan in town. He likes to show up in the reflections of store windows. So tourists looking for something to buy quite often see him mocking them in the window, only to turn around and find no one there at all, which is disconcerting. And a problem for the Greendale Chamber of Commerce. Captain John Green, who's Grandpa's brother, you may remember Grandpa. He was sitting on the front porch when we started reading the paper, pretending to read the paper. Captain John Green doesn't go into Greendale because because there's something wrong in Greendale. He knows what it is, and he's not going in. He also has some family problems that make it very bad for him to go into town. But his crew goes into town. Captain's about 75 years old, and his crew, the helmsman and the mate, are a couple of 19-year-olds. Today they're getting ready to go in and get some supplies, pay a visit to Greendale. The captain is warning them not to stay in Greendale, but just pick up the supplies and go to the hardware store, wherever you have to go, and come back. Come back out to the boat. Of course, the helmsman and the mate have other ideas, because they're 19, and they think the captain is completely out of his mind. They're going to go to John Lee's bar and listen to the Imitators play tonight.
Thank you.
your eyes are beeping.
Channel billboard at the edge of town. He felt right at home there. Watching for speeders. Watching for any crime at all. One day, Jed was driving his Lincoln out of Greendale, and he was going a little bit too fast.
Jed's light flashed before him like a black and white submarine. He heard the sound of the future on a scratchy old 78. But nothing was still, all was moving. And the flashlight found the gun. Then Jed pulled the trigger in a split second tragic blunder.
Thank you.
devil's cruel jokes, which were actually quite funny. Besides being very meticulous in other ways, the devil is extremely adept at telling jokes with excellent timing. Even the funniest joke can be told better by the devil, according to the devil himself. So Jed sat in jail for a long time thinking. Everybody in town was ready to kill him because of what he did to Officer Carmichael. Officer Carmichael was a very popular policeman and left behind a beautiful widow. He didn't have any kids. And he had a lot of secrets. Although he was a very popular man, there were a lot of things people didn't know about him. And the widow couldn't stand looking at pictures of him in his uniform. So she had some of her friends over. Ann and some other girl to help her go through his things and fix up the house. Make it look a little bit like he hadn't been there. Some things that she didn't want to see were pictures of him in his uniform, his boots, and pictures of him duck hunting. She asked her friends to go through some of the other things that might be around in the closet and in the chest of drawers and anywhere else in the house. She was too devastated. She was just basically spent a lot of time in bed.
Thank you.
Carmichael was a credit to the force and everything he did. It's like we got a big hole in our side where he fit. If any of you officers would like to say a word, now would be the time to be heard. Well, thank you, Chief. I sure would. He was a partner of mine. He was always very careful and played it straight down the line. One by one, the officers spoke, and the service drew to a close. He had no living relatives, but his wife, who never showed. She just couldn't face the men. They all understood. They got in their cars and drove home as directly as they could.
Thank you, everybody. How you doing? Cheers to you. What I say about France and the USA, vive la différence! Just seen if you look at them for long enough, you see everything in the world in these paintings, and you even hear voices. She just couldn't understand. But Earl was undaunted. Nothing seemed to depress him. As long as he could paint, he'd go into town and try to sell his paintings. And that's just what he did. He took his newest painting into town. Took it to the gallery. And Lenore at the L Gallery gave him back two of his old paintings and refused a new one. And told him to not come back with any more paintings. She'd done that many times before, though. He didn't care. But while he was away, the devil showed up in his studio and was standing there looking at all his paintings, which were everywhere, hanging from the ceiling, from the walls, because his studio was a big barn that he'd converted by hanging pieces of plywood from the ceiling on chains, making big walls that just hung from the ceiling, covering those paintings. As the devil stood there looking around, he walked over to the easel and picked up Earl's glasses. Earl, like all the greens, had a little trouble seeing. The devil picked up his glasses and he blew on them a little bit, and then he started polishing them till they were so clean that you could see perfectly through them. And then he polished the silver parts. And then he did it again. And he put the glasses down on his easel and disappeared. Earl came back later that night with his three paintings. Got out of his Winnebago and decided to go back in and do some more painting. Now, he started painting. And it was like nothing he'd ever done before. It was this man looking at him, right at him. He was wearing a red jacket. And had red patent leather shoes on, had a red handkerchief, and had a Panama hat on, kind of a cream colored Panama hat with a red hatband on it. His hair was red and his eyes were a little bit red and a little bit blue. He was looking right at Earl from out of the painting. Even when Earl closed his eyes, he could still see the same picture that he was painting. It was highly unusual for him to paint anything other than psychedelic and moving lines. And this was a very concise painting. The figure in the painting was holding a sign, and the sign was a white sign with Alaska written on it. In big block letters. And he had his thumb out like he was hitchhiking. Just then, Sun walked into the studio. She was looking at the painting. She was disturbed by it. She didn't like it. She didn't know what to say to her dad. So being 18 years old, not knowing what to say, she did her best to just keep a face on it, had no expression on it at all. And Earl looked around at her and said, "I'm going to take this painting in right now. I'm taking this in right now to Lenore." And he went and got in his Winnebago, and he drove into town. It took him about 2 or 3 minutes, only a couple of miles. When he got to the gallery, it was just about to close. Lenore saw him coming, and she was going, "Oh no, here he comes again." But then she saw the painting he had. Something caught her eye. So she let him in. She saw the painting. She said, "Earl, what is that?" And Earl said, "This is my new painting. It's different." And she said, "This is a great painting. This is a masterpiece. I want this painting." Earl couldn't believe his ears. She took the painting and she put it up on the wall right behind her desk where all of the clients could see it. Just the night before had been the lowest point in his life. He considered all kinds of bad things. He felt like a failure. And now here he was. Just last night, he spent the night in a motel because he was too depressed to go home. He went in the motel and got out his laptop computer, started looking around. Checked out eBay. See if maybe he could sell some paintings on eBay. It worked for a lot of other people. Maybe it'd be good for him. He was watching the Nature Channel on TV. A lot of pictures of elephants and giraffes. And a good picture of a dung beetle for a few minutes. He sat there on the bed, unable to figure out how to register on eBay. He started thinking about his problems.
Then give it hell.
David came up. You didn't count on that. Now you gotta pay up. Geez, half the money's gone. The month is still young. Where are you gonna go now? You gotta trust someone. Someone you trust. Can't go to your brother, because that money's all gone. Can't go to your friends. Someday you'll find everything you're looking for. Someday you'll find everything you're looking for. More big score? What are you trying to prove? Try to get closer, but not too close. Try to get through, but not be through. Nobody can touch you now. Well, I can touch you now. You're invisible. Too many secrets. Bob Dylan said that. Something like that. Someday you'll find everything you're looking for. Someday you'll find. Thank you.
big old jetliner. Must have been one of those 757s or something. It was pretty low because I was getting ready to land in Technopolis. She could see the windows. Could almost see the people looking out the window. And for sure they could see what she'd done. Because on the side of the hill was a huge circle, bigger than this theater, in straw against the beautiful green of Greendale. The hillside had a huge circle with war written in it, W-A-R, and with a big broad stroke right through it, about 6 feet wide, all the way across. So when they looked out of that airplane, everybody got Sun Green's message. No war. She was feeling very good. 18 years old. She made a huge statement. What a good feeling. I don't think there can be a better feeling than youth making a difference. She decided to go and see Jed, visit him in Greendale, go to the jail. She had something to give him. She started getting upset thinking about him, what he'd done. Meanwhile, Greendale, Grandpa and Grandma were having breakfast in their little house. They didn't live at the Double E, they lived in town. They spent a lot of time visiting, but they didn't live there. And there was a sound outside. Grandpa looked out the window, and he saw all kinds of people out there. He saw some trucks, some big SUV-type vehicles, some satellite discs on top of them, dishes on top of the SUV, and a generator. And he saw all kinds of people with microphones and lights and cameras. The lights were all pointed at the house. And then the house started shaking. The china started rattling in the cabinet. There was a helicopter right on top of the house. And it was the media. They wanted to interview Grandpa. Find out about Jed. They were doing a special story on the Green family. And Jed Green, the cop killer. He wanted to know how everybody in the Green family felt about it. So they just showed up. But Grandpa didn't want to talk to him. And he and Grandma went out the back door, got in the garage, jumped in the Eldorado, pressed the infrared button and opened the garage door. And Grandma took off out of there in the Eldorado really fast, and they went hightailing it out of town towards the Double E. And Grandma was a very fast driver. As soon as they got away from Greendale, Grandpa started feeling good. As they were heading along a dusty road, he was thinking to himself, I'm going to see Son. I'll be able to sit and talk to Son. And they both were very proud of her. They wanted to see what she was up to. So he was looking forward to it. But when they got to the Double E, Edith told them that Son had gone into town to see Jed in jail. So Grandma left Grandpa there. She went back into town to go visit Great-Grandma. Great-Grandma's 104. She's a cigarette-smoking, scotch-drinking 104-year-old. She was cooking up some soup. She gave it to Grandma. It was Grandpa's favorite. He was gonna really like it.
Doesn't mean a thing. generators were running. Vans parked outside in the field. TV crews and cameras. They wanted to interview Grandpa on the porch. They came through the gate and up on the lawn, knocking down Edith's tiki torch. Well, Grandpa saw them there, looking through the Venetian blind. Those people don't have any respect, so they won't get in your mind. I don't want to talk about Jed. I don't watch Channel 2 or 6 or 9. I don't have time to talk that fast, and it ain't my crime. It ain't an honor to be on TV. And it ain't a duty. The only good thing about TV is shows like Leave It to Beaver. Shows with love and affection. Like Mama used to say, the little man barely living. Took Earl's gun down from the closet, loaded up both barrels, went out on the porch and fired them off, and up walked a woman named Carol. Susan Carol from Early Magazine. I got some questions to ask. Well, you can stick them where the sun don't shine, Grandpa said with a gasp. And then he fell face first and let out a sigh. Edith ran out in shock. Grandpa was whispering to her from down on the floor. It looked like he was trying to talk. That guy just keeps singing. Can't somebody shut him up? I don't know for the life of me where he comes up with this stuff.
Thank you.
your grandpa. Well, in the studio, we were recording these songs. And this was a very depressing day for us. Because we all liked Grandpa. When I started writing these songs, I didn't know what I was doing. And especially when I wrote the second song, it had the same characters as the first song. So I started thinking about it. I said, I remember this. When I was about 3 years old, we were living in a little town in Canada. My dad is a writer. He's written about 40 books. And I was about 3 years old, and I went up to visit him in the attic where he had his typewriter. Now, he'd go up there every day, sit there with his typewriter pounding away. You know, I wasn't supposed to go up there, but I did. So I walked up behind him. I said, Daddy? He looked around. Well, hi, Neil. How are you? I looked up and I said, what are you doing?
You speak too much?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Take care of him for me. I said to him, what are you doing? He said, I'm writing. I said, what are you writing? He said, I don't know. He said, I don't know what I'm writing. I don't know until I write it, then I read it, and I know what it is. So I remembered that. I almost forgot it, is what he said. It kind of distracted me, but I do remember it now. Well, I would have been finished by then. That's all right. Anyway, the story is, I was writing a story, and it was okay. I kept bringing the songs into the studio every day, just like I'm playing them for you. You're listening to them. That's what I did with the band. And we played them every day. I put them on a computer, make them big so I could see them. And then, so when Grandpa died, it was a sad thing for us. A couple of days later, I still haven't written any more songs. And I was thinking, well, it might be over. Maybe the guys should just go home and we'll pick it up sometime later. And then I woke up one morning and I said, well, what about Grandma? What happened to Grandma?
side door was open, there were three TVs. Grandpa's face was on everyone. He was talking to a woman with a microphone. She was sexy, and her hair was all done. Sun green came down and met Grandma then. Why, you're such a beautiful girl. Mother Earth needs more like you. You should go out now and see the world. What's Grandpa doing on TV? I got his dinner in the car. All these bands have blocked our way, but we can carry it. It's not too far.
Said what they had to say. The next morning, the funeral home showed up with their cars. They were all really old cars, because Grandpa had specified in his will that he wanted old cars at his funeral. The next day, Sun Green got up and packed her bags. Instead of going to school, she just left the EE.
Speak. I can't trust anybody.
But security couldn't get her down. She was welded to the eagle's beak.
Be a guide.
see the living things. I'm ready to go right now. Sun green, shoulders brown. Let's go back to my place. Pick up my cat and leave this town behind.
Drinking glacier water from Alaska. He had a large bottle, put it down on a bar, and the devil came in behind him and stood there for a minute. Then he reached inside his pocket and he dropped some devil dust inside Earth's water. Water turned red, then it turned beautiful, crystal clear, even more clear than anything that anyone had seen before. While Earth was watching Sun dance, he reached over and felt for the water, took a large drink of it. From that moment on, Earth was thirsty. He could never get enough water. His thoughts were unclear. He second-guessed himself all the time. Earth was poisoned. Earth and Sun took off. in her Alaska camper. Up Highway 1 towards Alaska. Earth stopped at a convenience store to buy several boxes of bottles of water. He put two boxes in the front seat and the other 10 in the back of the camper. The windshield wipers were working, but they weren't working right. And it bothered him. Then he heard a sound in the motor. It sounded like the motor was going to give up. And that bothered him. Then he came to an intersection. He couldn't decide which way to go. Finally, he kept going straight, following the signs. Highway 1 North. He was sweating. His vision was starting to get a little bit unclear. The windshield wipers continued to work irregularly. Meanwhile, Sun was asleep on his shoulder, not a care in the world. She was dreaming. She was dreaming she was in a high school play. On the stage with her was a cardboard house. It looked just like the Double E. Grandpa was sitting there in his rocking chair, reading the paper. On the other side of the stage was a jail made out of cardboard. Jed was sitting there talking to Officer Carmichael. And Son's cab walked across the stage. And the Greendale cheerleaders came out, all Son's girlfriends. They were all dressed in camouflage. They had war paint on their faces. They had camouflage bandanas around their heads. One of them was carrying a big camouflage flag that she waved back and forth behind all of them. Some looked at the flag. There was a big black monkey wrench sewn onto the middle of the flag. Sun looked at herself. She was wearing camouflage. She had an army hat on, and her face was covered with war paint. The imitators began to play. Sun picked up her megaphone and walked to the front of the stage. The camo girls lined up behind. See the planet for another day.
Attention shoppers, buy the crisis of sale.
See the planet for another day.
Save Alaska with the caribou steel.
Don't care what the government says.
Bring a cotton pig here anyway.
See the planet for another day.
Thank you.
is beating down on our head. Wind is blowing through our hair. Faces frozen in the frigid air. We gotta get there, Alaska. We gotta be there before the big machines. We got a job to do. We got to save.
Thank you.
change the way things are. It's gonna take a lot of love, or we won't get too far. So if you look, thank you.
Thank you. On the beach.
No, I'm 62. Oh.
Whatever you like, Neil.
The other night I thought it'd be good if I was one of those guys in the Matrix. And I could play all the songs out loud.
On the beach.
Whatever, see you.
Thank you. missed it.
This is nowhere.
Like an old overcoat. This is a song for all the animals, a song for all the children, the ones who don't have a say in what goes on, the ones who suffer. Who live with the consequences of their decisions. It's a song for a seabird, a song for a man covered with oil. Somewhere in the Persian Gulf.
It's a war of men.
Baby creatures running from the cold, back to the nest just like the days of old. They're in the safety of a mother's arms, the warmth of ages far away from.
Thank you very much. I see you real quick. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you for coming and to thank my crew for the great tour. This is our last night.
searching for a house.